Jenny Goodman, host of Democracy Now! For more than 15 years, CJSF 90.1 FM has been bringing Democracy Now! To the greater Vancouver area every weekday at 11 a.m. This is Democracy Now!
The mission is very simple. It's twofold. We take out their ability to launch ballistic missiles and to produce ballistic missiles, and we downgrade their Navy. That's it. That's what we're doing. It's short in scope. It does not violate the law in any way.
Operation Epic Furies enters its fifth day. The U.S. and Israel have struck more than 2,000 targets across Iran so far. The death toll in Iran has climbed to over 1,000. The six U.S. service members also killed. The single largest casualty event in Iran was a strike on a girls' elementary school Saturday morning that killed up to 168 people, at least, mostly children.
This is her math book, Mohana Sari, first grade. This is her folder with her schoolwork, her homework here. What wrong has she done? Her color pencil box is still in her bag.
Neither Israel nor the U.S. has taken responsibility for the strike. We'll speak with investigative reporter Nilu Tabrizi. And as the U.S. and Israel claim the war can be contained, Iran's striking targets across the Gulf and has closed the Strait of Hormuz, disrupting energy markets worldwide. We'll speak with Johns Hopkins professor Narges Bajoghli and Al Jazeera analyst Marwan Bashara. Finally, a conversation with the acclaimed Brazilian director of The Secret Agent, a noir thriller set in Brazil in the 70s, a look at life under dictatorship.
I kill him with a hammer.
Do you carry a gun?
No, but I know how to use a hammer.
Welcome to Democracy Now!, democracynow.org, The War and Peace Report. I'm Amy Goodman. The U.S.-Israeli war on Iran has entered its fifth day with the U.S. and Israel new waves of intense bombing targeting Tehran and other areas. The reported death toll in Iran has risen to 1,045. U.S. forces say they've struck more than 2,000 targets since Saturday. Israel's also escalating its attack on Lebanon, where it's ordered mass evacuations. Iran's continuing to retaliate by attacking Israeli and U.S. allies across the Gulf. Targets reportedly struck by Iran include the U.S. Embassy and CIA station in Riyadh, Saudi Arabia, the U.S. consulate grounds in Dubai, and a major U.S. airbase in Qatar. Earlier today, Iran's Revolutionary Guard threatened the, quote, complete destruction of the region's military and economic infrastructure, unquote. Meanwhile, an Iranian naval ship has sunk in the Indian Ocean off the southern coast of Sri Lanka after a possible submarine attack. 30 people have survived. 140 others are still missing. Reuters reports sources in Sri Lanka's Navy and Defense Ministry said the vessel had been attacked by a submarine. This comes days after President Trump vowed to annihilate Iran's Navy. Iranian officials are expected to soon pick a new supreme leader to replace Ayatollah Ali Khamenei, who was assassinated Saturday at the start of the U.S.-Israeli attack. Israel's already announced Khamenei's successor will become a, quote, unequivocal target for elimination, unquote. Israel has already bombed the Assembly of Experts building in Qom, where the decision was expected to be made. On Tuesday, President Trump said U.S. and Israeli strikes have already killed off many possible future leaders in Iran.
Well, most of the people we had in mind are dead. So, you know, we had some in mind from that group that is dead. And now we have another group. They may be dead also, based on reports. So I guess you have a third wave coming in. Pretty soon we're not going to know anybody.
This comes as CNN is reporting the CIA is now working to funnel arms to Iranian Kurdish militias in an attempt to spark an uprising in Iran. On Tuesday, Trump reportedly spoke to the president of the Democratic Party of Iranian Kurdistan, which is considered a terrorist organization in Iran. Iranian forces have been launching drone strikes on Kurdish forces in northern Iraq. Meanwhile, on Capitol Hill, Democratic senators are expressing alarm after receiving a classified briefing ahead of today's War Powers Resolution vote. This is Connecticut Senator Richard Blumenthal.
I just want to say I am more fearful than ever after this briefing that we may be putting boots on the ground.
Senator Elizabeth Warren posted this message online after the briefing.
I just left a classified briefing on Iran, and here's what I can say. It is so much worse than you thought. You are right to be worried. Trump administration has no plan in Iran. This illegal war is based on lies, and it was launched without any imminent threat to our nation. Donald Trump still hasn't given a single clear reason for this war, and he seems to have no plan for how to end it either.
President Trump's threatening to cut off trade with Spain after the Spanish government refused to allow the U.S. to use naval and air bases in southern Spain to strike Iran. Earlier today, Spanish Prime Minister Pedro Sanchez called the U.S.-Israeli war a disaster.
We must learn from history and cannot play Russian roulette with the fate of millions of people. The powers involved in this conflict must immediately cease hostilities and commit to dialogue and diplomacy.
In Pakistan, the U.S. has ordered some consular staff in Karachi and Lahore to leave Pakistan due to safety risks. Large anti-U.S. protests have erupted in recent days. Reuters is reporting U.S. Marines opened fire on Pakistani demonstrators who tried to storm the Karachi consulate. 10 people were killed during that attack on Sunday. Anti-U.S. protests are continuing in Pakistan, which is home to the world's second largest Shia community after Iran.
We're here today to protest the American-Israeli strike on Iran. In an act of sheer hypocrisy, they bombed a girl's school, killing over 150 innocent children, while claiming to advocate for women's liberation. We are here to condemn this atrocity.
The Military Religious Freedom Foundation says it's been inundated with over 200 calls from members of the U.S. military regarding religious comments made by U.S. commanders about the war in Iran. One combat unit commander reportedly said the war is, quote, part of God's divine plan, and that, quote, President Trump has been anointed by Jesus to light the signal fire in Iran to cause Armageddon and mark his return to Earth. Unquote. Last month, Defense Secretary Pete Hegseth invited the controversial Christian nationalist pastor Doug Wilson to lead the Pentagon's prayer service. Wilson has opposed Muslims holding public office and does not believe women should be allowed to vote. The Pentagon has announced U.S. Special Forces are now in Ecuador to conduct joint military operations with Ecuadorian commandos to reportedly target suspected drug traffickers. The head of U.S. Southern Command and the top commander of U.S. Special Forces in Latin America met with Ecuador's right-wing president, Daniel Noboa, in Quito on Monday. Last year, Noboa proposed a constitutional change to allow the U.S. to operate a military base in Ecuador, but voters rejected the proposal. The deployment of U.S. troops to Ecuador marks a new front in the Trump administration so-called Operation Southern Spear. Since September, the U.S. has blown up at least 44 boats in the region, killing at least 150 people. Without offering proof, the Trump administration's claimed all the targets were drug traffickers. The 2026 midterm campaign kicked off Tuesday with primaries in Texas, North Carolina, and Arkansas. In Texas, Democratic state legislator and former seminarian James Tallarico is projected to have defeated Congresswoman Jasmine Crockett in the closely watched Democratic Senate primary. Tallarico spoke to supporters in Austin.
This is a people-powered movement to take on this broken, corrupt political system. This is truly a campaign of, by, and for the people.
Texas Congresswoman Jasmine Crockett decried voting disruptions in Dallas County, where hundreds of voters are reportedly turned away from polls.
I can tell you now that people have been disenfranchised. The reason that we knew that there were problems is because we were receiving the phone calls and the emails. The polls were supposed to stay open until 9, according to a court order. The Supreme Court, just a few minutes ago, just said, shut it down.
In the Republican Texas Senate primary, Senator John Cornyn and State Attorney General Ken Paxton are heading for a runoff on May 26. Their race is already the most expensive Senate primary in history. Meanwhile, Republican incumbent Congressmember Dan Crenshaw lost his primary to Texas State Representative Steve Toth. Another Republican incumbent Congressman, Tony Gonzalez, has been forced into a runoff. Reports recently emerged that he had an affair with a staffer who later took her own life. In North Carolina, the matchup to replace retiring Republican Senator Tom Tillis is now set. Former Democratic Governor Roy Cooper will face off against Michael Whatley, a former Trump Republican National Committee chairman. Homeland Security Secretary Kristi Noem testified on Capitol Hill Tuesday, grilled by about the killings by federal agents of Renee Good and Alex Preti in Minneapolis. But she refused to apologize for linking them to domestic terrorism. She was questioned by Senator Dick Durbin of Illinois.
Can you explain why you decided to brand these victims that we all saw on video who were out protesting the activities of your agency and were killed as a result of it? How did you think that calling them domestic terrorists at that scene was somehow going to calm the situation?
You know, Senator, we are working in those situations where there's a tragic loss of life and that there is something that our agents are involved in that
is
we continue
so
to deliver information.
Wrong?
Senator Amy Klobuchar questioned Noem about armed masked agents in St. Paul, Minnesota, battering down the door of a home of a U.S. citizen from Laos, even though the agents did not have a warrant.
Do you agree that it is unacceptable for your agents to ram into someone's door and drag someone out in their underwear and below zero temperatures when they have the wrong guy?
Our officers conduct targeted operations and utilize the law processes that are given to them and the tools.
That you think that's wrong?
They needed to identify that individual and that
they couldn't identify him by looking at his identification. Instead, they had to drag him out, throw him in a car and drive him around for an hour.
In Arizona, a Haitian asylum seeker has died in ICE custody after being held for 4 months at the Florence Correctional Center. One local official said the man, Emmanuel Damas, had died after not getting timely medical care for an infected tooth. He's at least the 10th prisoner to die in ICE custody so far this year. And in Georgia, the father of an accused school shooter has been convicted of second-degree murder for giving his teenage son an AR-15-style rifle as a Christmas gift. Colin Gray's son, who was 14 at the time, is accused of using the gun to kill two students and two teachers at a high school in Winder, Georgia, in 2024. Prosecutors accused the father of ignoring his son's emotional problems, including his obsession with school shooters. And those are some of the headlines. This is Democracy Now!, democracynow.org, The War and Peace Report. I'm Amy Goodman. It happened early Saturday morning. One of the first strikes of the U.S.-Israeli attack on Iran hit a girls' school in Minab in southern Iran. The death toll is now at least 175, most of them primary school girls. On Tuesday, thousands of people filled the streets of Minab for a mass funeral. The girls' ages range from 7 to 12. Iran's school week runs from Saturday to Thursday. When the missile hit the school on Saturday morning, the girls were in their morning session. After the strike, parents search for their children among the dead.
This is her math book, Mohana Sari, first grade. This is her folder with her schoolwork, her homework here. What wrong has she done? Her color pencil box is still in her bag.
While Iran blamed Israel for the attack, neither Israel nor the United States has taken responsibility for the bombing. On Tuesday, the United Nations Human Rights Office urged the forces behind the attack on the girls' school to investigate.
In Iran, the Iran Red Crescent Society reports put the death toll at 787. In the single deadliest and devastating incident, dozens of girls were reportedly killed and injured when their primary school in Minab, in the south of the country, was struck during the school day. The High Commissioner calls for a prompt, impartial, and thorough investigation into the circumstances of the attack. The onus is on the forces that carried out the attack to investigate it. We call on them to make public the findings and to ensure accountability and redress for the victims.
For more, we're joined by investigative reporter Nilu Tabrizi. She's worked extensively with open source material to pull report on Iran for The Washington Post and The New York Times. She's been tracking what she calls the information wars online over the school bombing. Her recent piece for New Lines magazine is headlined "Investigation Debunks Claims IRGC Bombed Iranian School." She joins us now in studio. Welcome back to Democracy Now!, Nilu. Explain exactly what you understand took place. And it's really hard right now with the internet almost totally turned off in Iran.
Yeah, absolutely. So right now, we're not necessarily able to get in touch with eyewitnesses or, you know, friends and families of the young girls who were killed. But we were able to verify the video. So there was one video that I saw probably around 6:30 a.m. Eastern time on Saturday. And I was able to verify that and know that the video that we saw that showed at least, you know, half of the structure was hit. You know, two stories were torn down. The scene was really graphic. I saw things like a small child's hand in the rubble, bloodstained backpacks, homework scattered everywhere. And so those, when I see scenes like that, it's important to verify and know that it's from the current moment. So I was able to do that. And then once I found the locations of the school itself, just being able to map, you know, some of the features we saw in the video with satellite imagery, I wanted to understand what was around there. You know, Minab is a small town in the southern Hormozgan province. I was trying to understand why the school was struck. What I saw and what many others online saw as well is that it was close to an IRGC Navy barracks.
And explain what the IRGC is.
The IRGC is a Revolutionary Guard. So there was an IRGC, you know, Navy barracks around there. And I wanted to, you know, understand, you know, is this an issue of wrong targeting? Once I looked at satellite imagery, it was clear that for years ago, it used to be part of, you know, it looked like it was very close to the base, part of the base. As far back as 2016, it was completely walled off. There was a separation between that school and the IRGC Navy barracks. And as well, the walls of the school were painted with these bright murals. So obviously, if I can see as an open source investigator that as far back as, you know, 8 years ago, these brightly colored walls are visible, I know that this is not part of an IRGC base. And so should anybody that's adding this to a target list.
You've reported that the pro-Pahlavi monarchy accounts have been spreading a narrative that this was a failed IRGC rocket. And explain what these forces are.
Yes. So right now there's, people are trying to co-opt a narrative or, you know, put forth what's happening that feels convenient to the story that they want to push and the goals that they have. And right now it seems that any reporting on civilian casualties becomes a flashpoint. And there was one quite prominent user on X that tweeted out and said that the Iranian state already took responsibility for the strike. So we started to look at that claim. The channel that they put forward was not an Iranian state official channel. It was a Telegram channel that's a pro-monarchy channel. So you can understand, okay, where this type of misinformation is starting to spread.
Talk about the response on the ground, this mass funeral that took place in Minab, and how the media is covering this around the world.
Yeah, I mean, many journalists were quite horrified to see an attack like this, right? The death toll is up to 175 people, many of them young schoolgirls. And right now, I think people are trying to verify imagery of this. So there were some claims saying, oh, this aerial imagery showing, you know, the small graves that were dug comes from, you know, a different image in Pakistan. Well, there's been a lot of great reporting, some by BBC, some by The New York Times, that have verified this aerial imagery and said that, no, indeed, this is of the current moment. This is for these funerals as well. So this is a incident that many of us are looking at because it absolutely demands accountability.
And what has the U.S. and Iran said?
The U.S. said that it was looking into this incident, and Iran has said this was on the fault of Israel. This is what happens in an air campaign, and we're still trying to figure that out. So as it stands, we need more information. Either we need remnants of the weapons that was used from the scene. We haven't been able to obtain that. Or what would another visual clue that would be helpful is to see the moment of impact. So if we saw the missile hit, we could maybe look at the angle where it comes from and get more information. So we still don't know exactly who did what. Some of the claims coming out as well, just about the general operation, have said that Israel is mostly responsible for Tehran, you know, Western Iran strikes, and that the Southern Iran strikes are being done by the U.S., which is why some reporters have gone to the U.S. and asked for answers.
UNESCO says the killing of pupils in a place dedicated to learning constitutes a grave violation of the protection afforded to schools under international humanitarian law. Nila.
Absolutely. I mean, this is not, you know, a school for young girls is absolutely not a viable, nor is it a legal target, especially as we're trying to still understand the aims of this type of operation. It doesn't seem a legitimate target based on the information that we know at all. And it really calls in, you know, it highlights that no matter if there's an air campaign, whether the objectives are understood or not, that civilians will always pay the price in these types of conflicts. And right now, it's the young girls in Minab.
I want to thank you, Nilou, for being with us and ask you a final question. What most surprised you about this horrific attack?
I was surprised to see that people were trying to doubt it immediately or saying that just because there's civilian casualties, that's an Islamic Republic talking point. No, these deaths happened. They're important for us to investigate, and all of us should be interrogating what happened.
And can I ask you, you were with The Washington Post. We all know that The Washington Post has gutted its staff, laid off a third of the staff, almost the entire Middle East division. You should be doing this for The Washington Post. So what's happening with that coverage?
Yeah, I mean, I would love to continue reporting this for the Post. That's not what's happening right now. I'm seeing my colleagues that I deeply respect that are still there scrambling and trying to cover this important moment, but they're not getting voices from inside Iran. And understandably, connectivity is really difficult right now. That's why you need reporters like myself, like my colleague Yegane, who is the bureau chief for Iran based in Turkey. That's why this reporting is deeply important in this moment.
Well, thank you for doing it. Nilou Tabrizi, author, investigative journalist, who's worked extensively with open source material to report on Iran for The Washington Post and The New York Times. Her recent piece for New Lines magazine, and we will link to it, is titled Investigation Debunks Claims IRGC Bombed Iranian School. We'll link to it at democracynow.org. Back in a minute. Foster performing at the Brooklyn Folk Festival. This is Democracy Now!, democracynow.org. I'm Amy Goodman. Israel's launched another wave of airstrikes against Iran with loud blasts reported in Tehran this morning as the U.S.-Israeli war in Iran enters a fifth day. The reported death toll in Iran has surpassed 1,000, with the victims including many children. This is a resident of Tehran who was forced to flee to Armenia.
I am from Tehran. There were constant bombings. The question again?
There are 50 to 60 bombings daily. Very scary. It is unimaginable for the people with children. Food stores are working. The hospitals are working too. So do the fueling stations. Nothing else is working. There's practically nobody in the city of Tehran. Everybody moves in the countryside, those who have cottages over there. Others stay indoors. The city is deserted.
This comes as President Trump said Tuesday the U.S. Navy could soon begin escorting oil tankers through the Strait of Hormuz after a commander in Iran's Revolutionary Guard Corps threatened to set ablaze any ship that passes through there. Iran closed the Strait of Hormuz in response to the U.S.-Israeli joint attacks, disrupting global energy markets as the strait is a key waterway for oil and gas. Meanwhile, U.S. Defense Secretary Pete Hegseth said the Trump administration had sunk an Iranian warship in the Indian Ocean, leaving over 100 people missing. Iranian media reported today's funeral ceremony for Supreme Leader Ayatollah Ali Khamenei, who was assassinated Saturday, has been postponed. His son, Mojtaba Khamenei, has reportedly emerged as the frontrunner to replace his father as Iran's supreme leader, according to the New York Times. Israel has said whoever is chosen as new supreme leader will become, quote, an unequivocal target for elimination, unquote. Israel's already bombed the Assembly of Experts building in Qom, where the decision was expected to be made. For more, we're joined here in New York by Narges Bajokli. She's an associate professor of anthropology and Middle East studies at Johns Hopkins University School of Advanced International Studies, or SAIS. Professor, welcome back to Democracy Now! Talk about the latest, the significance of what's happening right now, and about the killing, the assassination of the Supreme Leader Khamenei.
So it seems like one of the first strikes that happened on Tehran in as soon as this war began was a decapitation strike on the Supreme Leader, as well as other military and political leaders in the country. It's important to note that the Supreme Leader did not go into hiding this time like he did in June. He didn't go into bunkers. And so in many ways, and because he was killed in his compound, he wanted to be martyred this time around.
He was dying of cancer already.
He was 86 years old. He was already a very elderly gentleman and sick. But he has become a symbol of martyrdom and resistance against Israeli and American war. And that has significant meaning within Shia culture, and this is why we're seeing, as you showed earlier on this show, protests happening in Pakistan, as well as in Bahrain, as well as India, and across the Muslim world, because he was not just a leader of a country, but for many Shia Muslims, they also saw him as a spiritual leader.
And can you talk about Mojtaba Khamenei?
Mojtaba Khamenei is his son, and he's long been rumored to be next in line. It is still unclear whether that's actually the case. I know the New York Times is reporting that, but we have to wait and see. What we do know is that because the Iranians have been obviously looking at and studying the way that the Israelis and Americans do war across the region, they know that their MO is decapitation strikes. So in the lead up to this war, the leader in Iran had already ordered across the government to create 3 and 4 lines of succession for every major post. So they know that whoever is announced next might be next in line for assassination.
I mean, Israel announced that.
And Israel knows that as well, yep.
They said that the next person would be the target of elimination.
Yeah, and this is what they've done across the region.
Talk about the doctrine that Israel is citing, what they're going to do next.
So yesterday there were reports on Israeli media that Benjamin Netanyahu, has said that he wants to start enacting the Dahiya Doctrine in Tehran. The Dahiya Doctrine is a doctrine that the Israeli military created for striking the southern suburbs of Beirut in the many wars that Israel has waged on Lebanon. And what the Dahiya Doctrine is carpet bombing residential infrastructure and critical infrastructure of densely populated cities in order to eventually turn the population against their ruling establishments. That's sort of the idea of it. But what it means is that they want to carpet bomb really densely populated areas in Tehran.
Let's talk about Iran's strategy. Netanyahu has been saying that Iran is weak. And now the Secretary of State, Marco Rubio, is trying to walk back comments that Israel was going to attack Iran no matter what. And the U.S. had to engage in this attack on Iran because